Tony Broom Ministries welcomes you into the Zoom Broom Room, using Zoom technology to preach the gospel and reach the world for Jesus Christ. Here's a sermon from Psalm 34 entitled, When He Changed His Behavior.
One of the greatest psalms that's ever written is Psalm 34. I want to do my best this evening in the Zoom Broom Room to take us through Psalm 34. And Psalm 34 is written because of the first part of it. Well, the Lord, of course, He's the reason. But the reason that this psalm was written is because of the heading. A lot of times the headings are left out of the newer Bibles, and some of the Bibles don't even put the title of these psalms in there. So you'll just start with verse 1 in the scripture. It's all scripture, but the psalm here said a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Now, if you leave that out, that's not even included in a lot of Bibles. So you won't even know why this psalm was written and what circumstance around what condition this psalm was written. And this psalm was written when David changed his behavior before Abimelech. Abimelech is another name for Achish. David was fleeing from King Saul, and he went to King Achish. And while he was there, he thought he would escape from King Saul and have a little bit of peace and a little reprieve. And while he was there, these people started talking about David. Do you realize who this is? This is the one that they sung about in their dances, saying Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And David laid these words up in his heart and he said, I cannot stay here. I've been found out. They know who I am. And so it says he changed his behavior before Abimelech, which is this other name for King Achish. He changed his behavior, all right. Sometimes you had to put on an act. I know a lot of these preachers, they tell us not to put on an act, and the reason they tell us not to put on an act because they put on such a big one. Well, he changed his behavior before Abimelech. He had to put on an act. He started acting like a crazy man. He started letting his spit drool down his beard, and he started making funny noises. And this King Achish, Abimelech, he said, what in the world you got this madman in my house for? Get him out of here. I don't have time for such people like this. So this is when David changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. And we have this wonderful psalm, one of the greatest ones in the Bible, simply because of that one phrase. And I want to use that one phrase as a subject. When he changed his behavior. If we go through all this that we're going through, this pandemic, all the disease and desolation, all the times when we're confined in our homes, all the times when we have to stay isolated, when we have to be careful in everything we say, careful in everything we do. If we go through all this and we don't learn or we don't change our behavior, it's not going to do any good. The sad fact is that people can become sick, they can have hardships, they can have trials in life, and they'll change the way they dress, or they'll change their buying habits, or they'll change where they go. They may have to stay at home. They may have to change their social behavior. But we don't change behavior of our heart and life. And that's the tragic part. I told some folks in a Zoom Broom Room recently that I don't want to go through all this and come out on the other side and my life not be changed in any way. I want to change my behavior. Now, any married man, his wife will tell him there's some things about his behavior that he needs to change. And I'm not exempted from that. And if Miss Peggy were here, she'd say, amen. So there's things in our life that we need to change. Jesus has changed our heart and our life. We're not in sin anymore, and we don't live in sin anymore, and we are born again. But there are things in our life that need to change. David changed his behavior, and he was driven away. But because of that, he wrote this wonderful psalm, which we really got to get to. If I'm going to get through it, we got to get to it. And so he starts off just kicking up here in high gear in verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, you would not know if you just read that. I will bless the Lord all the times. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'll bless him in all times, the good times and the bad times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. But unless you knew the circumstances around that, David had just come through a trial. David was facing persecution. Saul was after his head. And now he had been found out in the place where he had tried to go and stay. And so he had to leave there. And he could have gotten bitter. He could have gotten angry against God. But he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. When it's going good for me, when it's not going so well for me, I'm going to praise God and bless the Lord anyway. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's something that many of our behavior needs to change. And our mouth should be filled with the praise of God. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. I want to brag on God a little while, he says. I want to brag on Jesus. If we have any bragging rights, let's brag on Jesus. Let's brag on what God has done. It's not what man has done. It's not what the system and education and all that, even church, it's not what church has done. It's what the people who make up the church has done. And it's, of course, what God has done. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And then praising God is good, but verse 3 said, let's do it together. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. It's a wonderful thing to praise God by yourself, and it's good to praise him together with others too. And now David says, let me tell you why I can praise God. Let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. Look what the Lord has done. Let me tell you what he's done for me. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. David said, he has delivered me from my fears. I have trials. I have tribulations. I have troubles. But the Lord has delivered me from my fears. I have never seen a time when we, and I say we, all of us, we in general, are living in and under fear. This world is gripped by fear. They're afraid to touch things. They're afraid to go anywhere. They're afraid not to cover their faces up. Used to be thought you was a crook. If you had a mask on, you a crook. Now, if you don't wear one, you're a crook. So it's amazing how things can change. David said, we don't have to be in fear. The Lord has delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Their faces were not ashamed. You don't have to go around with a shame face. You don't have to go around with your face covered up. You don't have to go with a shame face, because your face does not have to be ashamed. He said, if you think that's something, let me tell you this. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. That's what God has done for me. This poor man, this poor woman, whoever you are, you cried out to God, and he came just in time, and he saved you. David said, let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. Do you know that you and I have angels that are assigned to us, the angels that are given to us? God has made a way where we can have angels that are round about us. There are angels all around us right now. There are angels in this room where I am. I don't see them, and I would not want to see them. If I had 20/20 vision, I would not want to see them. And that's not the way you see angels. You have to see them in the spirit realm. God has to reveal them to you in the spirit, or they have to make themselves to the place molecularly where you can see them. They have to change in such a way that they will be visible to you. And God can make that happen, and certainly that has happened in the Bible, and it does happen sometimes. But it's not whether you see them or not. It's because God's Word promises you that they are there to minister to you. They're there to protect you. The angel of the Lord encamps round about those that fear the Lord to deliver them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. What'd you have for supper tonight? Have you had supper yet? I had some chicken strips and Miss Peggy special fries. And my, the fry was so good. And I tasted it, and I saw that it was good. And that is nothing compared to the Lord. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. To fear the Lord, that doesn't mean be scared of him. That means to have respect and awesomeness for God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. In wisdom, power, and love, our God is an awesome God. Fear the Lord, ye his saints. The world doesn't fear God. Many of them don't even believe that there's a God. And scripture said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want or lack to them who fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Even the lions, he's strong, he's big, and the young lions, they go out there and they catch the prey. But even they lack and they suffer hunger. But those who seek the Lord shall not want or lack any good thing. No matter what time we're in, no matter how things around us are, no matter the unemployment, no matter the closures, no matter the orders to stay at home, no matter the epidemic or pandemic that's going on around us, the scripture still says that God will take care of his people. Even if the young lions are suffering hunger, those who seek the Lord shall not lack anything. And he says, let me tell you something that'll help our generation. Our generation that we have right now, they have a story and they will have a story to tell that even many of those who are older in here right now have never had the opportunity to tell. We have people in here now that can tell us about the Korean War. Some can even tell us about World War II and going back beyond that. But nobody has ever lived in a situation that we're facing right now. And our generation has a story to tell. But there's a bigger story they need to be able to tell. And that's a story about the old time religion. That's a story about the power of God. He says, come, you children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I want to teach you what is really important. It's not how much toilet paper or paper towels they have. It's not what kind of job situation's on hand. What's really important is the fear and the worship of God. What man is he that desires life and loveth many days that he may see good? What man is there not that does not want to see good? Everybody wants a good life. Everybody wants things to go good, to go well in life. What man is he that desires life and loves many days that he may see good? And this is such an important scripture that Peter quoted it again in his epistle. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile or deceit. That's the way that you have a good life. So many times we need to change our behavior and we need to take care. And it's not nice to stick your tongue out, but we need to take care of that tongue. We need to tame that tongue. James said no man can tame it, but the Holy Ghost can tame the tongue. And we need to work on that. I know I do. I don't cuss like a sailor and all that, but there are things in my life. I say things sometimes that don't come out right. I say things sometimes that have both boots in my mouth. I say things sometimes that I don't mean. And I need to change my behavior. When he changes his behavior, things turned out better for him. And that's what I need to do. I need to change my behavior. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. He's just telling us to live right. Do what's right. People would be so much better off in the generation that we live in now, and even the situation we find ourselves in. I mean, what good does it do to demonstrate, get out and march and blow your horn, cuss and fuss and tear stuff up? That doesn't do anything. That doesn't make people well. That doesn't help the job situation. That doesn't help the economic situation and sometimes pronounced economic situation. It doesn't help anything. Just do what's right. That helps everybody. It helps you. It helps your parents. It helps your grandparents. It helps neighbors. It helps everybody around us. Depart from evil. Do good. Seek peace and pursue it. It means run after it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. If you live right and do what's right in sight of the Lord, his ears are open to your prayers. His eyes are watching out for you, and he's looking out for you. His ears are open to you, the eyes of the Lord. They're watching upon you, the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. See, it's not that God is one way or the other. It's he has to deal with you the way that you are to him. If you're righteous, his eyes are watching over you, and his ears are open to your cry. But if you're evil, if you're wicked, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Why does God seem so big and bad? It's because of the way we live, because America is turning her face and her back against God. And that's the way God is seeming to us. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. No matter how many troubles you got, you can cry to the Lord, and he'll hear your prayer, and he'll deliver you out of all your troubles and trials. That's the God that we serve. He is a faithful God, and he will deliver us when we call upon him. The righteous cry, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. How many times have you had a broken heart, and the Lord comes? You didn't even really ask him to, but he was right there with you where you are. You felt his presence. You knew his love. You had his word to come to you. You wasn't even really thinking. You didn't know how to pray. You couldn't remember scripture, but all of a sudden, his word came and comforted you in your trials. The Lord is nearer to them who are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Some people have this false idea that says if you're righteous, if you're born again, Christian, saved, whatever terminology you want to use, they have this idea that says that you won't have any trials, you won't have any troubles. All your clouds will have silver linings. Everything you touch will turn to gold. We know that's not true. In fact, it says the opposite here in verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. And that was fulfilled when Jesus was on the cross. It is amazing to me. I've always thought about the sufferings of Christ. They spat upon him. They beat him. They kicked him. They tortured him. They did everything imaginable to him, but yet he kept all of his bones. Not one of his bones was broken. And that was a miracle in itself, that God allowed Jesus to go through all what he did and not one of his bones was broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. You don't have to worry. God will take care of those who love and serve him, and he will make sure that those who do not serve him, they're going to have to pay for what they do. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them who trust in him will be desolate. You don't have to worry about being desolate. You don't have to worry about being alone, because God is there with you. And if God is for us, the New Testament says, who can be against us? Nobody can successfully be against you if God is for you. And if we change our behavior, the good things that happened to David, and this wonderful psalm that we have set before us, all came, yeah, because of the inspiration of God, but it came because David, when he changed his behavior, when he was willing to change his behavior and do something different than he had done before, God used him and he wrote one of the most wonderful psalms that we have in God's Word. Now, Heavenly Father, I want to commit this word to your hands this evening. And I thank you for those who have joined us in the Zoom Broom Room tonight. And I pray that you'd bless them, bless the families. Lord, let the quickening power of your word touch every one of us. Lord, I pray that in our hearts and lives, you would dismiss and destroy all fear. Fear has to go. Despair and desolation has to go in Jesus' name. Everything that would come against your word, every disease and everything has to go and bow in the name of Jesus. And we give you praise for that, Lord. I pray this generation will be touched as never before by the power of God and the love of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a session from Psalm 34, taking as part of the Zoom Broom Room meeting. What a wonderful way to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Have you made Him your Savior and Lord yet? Do so now. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.